If we listen closely to that beautiful prayer of Saint Francis, we are reminded of how our faith can turn our world upside down. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. That those words start to tilt the world in a particular direction, and then as the prayer continues, it completely turns the world upside down. Oh, divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, that we are called to console more than we are to be consoled, to understand more than we are to be understood, to love more than we are loved, to give of our lives more than we preserve them. And it turns our world upside down. And we see that same upside down faith in Abraham and Sarah when they set out on that journey into the unknown, that one might assume we have to have everything planned out before we take off on that kind of journey, that we need to map out our route beforehand so we don't take a wrong turn, that we need to pack everything that might be necessary, that we must have all the answers before we depart. But Paul reminds us that was not the case for Abraham or Sarah. That they ventured out on faith, letting go of certainty. And that kind of faith turns our world upside down. And it's why certainty is so tempting. We do not want up to become down or forwards to become backwards. That certainty is more appealing than change. Thankfully, though, Abraham and Sarah kept going, opening the door, making a way for both Jew and Gentile alike to be a part of the family of God. And Paul invites us on a similar journey. This journey, though, is like the difference between reading the review of an album and listening to the music ourselves. As one writer says, when we read the review of the album, we can describe what the music sounds like. We can identify the instruments on each and every song. We can even tell the stories behind the lyrics. But until we listen to the music ourselves, we do not know how it makes us feel or what it stirs inside of us or how it changes what we see around us or what memories it calls to mind. And we are invited to listen to the song of faith in the life of Jesus. That Jesus is trying to tap out the rhythm of faith so that the disciples will be able to recognize it for themselves. The disciples have listened as Jesus reached out to the crowd of 5,000 that was hungry, having compassion on them. That they heard Jesus debate with the religious authorities, always standing on the side of those in need, and they heard him question the authority of Herod, criticizing the misuse of power. And they overheard Jesus extend mercy to the man who was born blind, all of which sounded beautiful to their ears. But then Jesus started to sing the refrain of the song, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." It turns the world upside down. That the Son of Man has to undergo great suffering, and like an out-of-touch chaperone at a middle school dance, Peter stops the music. That Peter criticizes Jesus. Peter speaks up for the disciples. And perhaps for us. Why does love require such sacrifice? But that is like asking why there is wet in water or grit in sand. When I think back to every moment in my life where I felt loved, there was always someone in the background who had made a sacrifice. When I was in high school, trying to decide which foreign language to take, someone gave me the advice to take Latin, that even though it was a dead language and I would never use it, it was helpful for understanding the meaning of other words, which always came in handy for things like the SAT or the ACT. Well, I took Spanish. So the first time I heard someone say Missio Dei, I had no idea what it meant. I knew it had something to do with God, so I was curious. But I did not know it meant the mission of God, which is the purpose of the church. And it turns our world upside down. That it is not as easy to see the mission of God as simply looking at the world from the view of a headstand, that there is more to it than that. In the ancient Jewish tradition of Tikkun Olam is quite helpful in understanding the mission of God, because it means the healing of the world, which admittedly sounds rather daunting, because the world is such a big place. But the emphasis falls on the ministry of presence, that we do not heal the world through our performance, but through our presence. It is the presence of a parent, consoling a child who is hurting. It is the presence of another, seeking to understand through careful listening. It is the presence of a nurse, loving her patient by tending to the details of his care. It's the presence of a teacher, giving more than she receives. And it is the presence of a friend, willing to forgive a mistake. It might not seem like enough, but it is the sacrifice of love through the gift of presence. It is giving of oneself for the benefit of others, and it teaches us that the maturity of grace is the empathy of love. That grand old preacher, Harry Emerson Fosdick, says that one time he ordered a book. It was a book he had read before that he was familiar with. He knew what it looked like, but he needed his own copy. And once it arrived at the bookstore, he walked down to pick it up, but when he opened the package, he was surprised. It was not the right book. At least at first glance. Because he opened the book and he started to read the first few pages, and he realized it was the right book. It had just been placed in a different binding. That sometimes we discover an old truth in new ways. That the mission of God has not change, but we can participate in it in a thousand different ways. That even if we are familiar with God's mission, there are still places in our lives where we can continue to turn the world upside down. And it is why today we celebrate the Global Ministries offering. That offering that is in addition to our mission giving within the budget. It is a way that we can join with our partners in ministry, reaching out and caring for needs both locally and globally. That we come together and we join hands with these partners in ministry as we feed the hungry, as we comfort the vulnerable, as we offer strength to those in need, as we cultivate hope, and as we share the love of Christ, that it is one way among many ways that we can continue to turn the world upside down. Amen.